Well, hello, boys and girls, and welcome back to Reading with Rick. Did you have a good weekend? It sure seemed to go very fast. Saturday was pretty rainy, wasn't it? But the rain didn't keep the birds away at my house. I sat outside while I was, I sat at my window while the birds were outside having lunch and watching, and I had so many different kinds of birds. That was really fun. There was cardinals and goldfinches and a little blue one called an indigo bunting and a rose-breasted grosbeak. Those are really pretty. And there was blue jays. Oh, and there were nuthatches and doves. And, of course, the sparrows and the blackbirds. They showed up as well because they can't pass up a free lunch, but there were so many of them. It was fun to see them. Oh, and orioles. Can't forget them. Both a male and a female oriole showed up out there. So they were coming and going all afternoon long, and that was a lot of fun to just sit and watch them. But here it is now, and it's time. And I talk about birds because we're going to start tonight with a book about a little bird. And this is a very special book. Matter of fact, our first two books, all three books we have tonight are very special, but the first two are extra special because they were written by people from peers. We're going to have a story written by a sixth grade teacher at Pioneer Elementary, Mrs. Faye Sandy. She wrote a book called Awesome Possum, and we're going to read that story about you. I bet you can tell what that's about a possum. And then we're going to have a story called Little Duck. And the lady that wrote this, she is really a special lady. Her name is Rosetta Weber. Yeah, Rosetta is the mom of our superintendent, Mr. George Weber. And Frank Weber is one of her boys. And she and her husband, Leo, they had 10 kids. And they are all, and all, so many grandkids. And I've gotten to know so many of them in that family. And what a great lady she is. And we sure miss Leo, too, her husband, who passed away a few years ago. I would see them at games all the time. Every once in a while, Rosetta will be at a baseball game where one of her grandsons, Aaron, plays. I'll see her at a Buckman game once in a while. And it sure is nice to see her. And what a great lady she is. And she wrote a book called Little Duck. And she's got a really nice little story about her on the back. And let's start by reading that. It says, Rosetta Weber was born on a farm near Buckman on November 27th in 1931. And she was the youngest of 12 children born to Frank and Barbara Kapsner. After acquiring a teaching license from Little Falls Teachers Training Department School in 1950, she began her teaching career in a one-room schoolhouse a few miles from her childhood home. She married Leo Weber in 1952 and continued a teaching profession that spanned 5 decades. Leo and Rosetta raised 10 children during that time, never missing an opportunity to attend school events and always promoting participation in many other activities, including music and sports. Rosetta received a Bachelor of Arts degree from St. Cloud State in 1974 and added a special education LD license in 1977. One of her assignments in a children's literature class was to write a preschool reader. And so she wrote Little Duck, and she based Little Duck on childhood memories of watching baby ducks swimming across the pond near her home. Rosetta retired in 1997, last teaching special education students in the Piers District. Leo and Rosetta resided in Piers and were active in many school and community events after retirement. She says, Little Duck is not the work of a lifetime, but rather a small tribute to a lifetime of work and dedication to education, family, and community. So you can tell she's a very good writer. And she's got a little bit. We'll save that for the end. So let's start. And then our third book of the night is Back to the Magic Treehouse tonight. And tonight, well, They look like Jack and Annie. They're always in trouble, aren't they? And according to the cover, they might have brought their neighbor's dog along this time, because all three of them are dressed in coonskin caps and buckskin clothes with tassels and fringe and kind of deerskin boots, and they're out in the Wild West and being chased by a big buffalo. Tonight's story, The Magic Treehouse, Buffalo Before Breakfast. That'll be coming up in a little bit. So let's get started. We're going to start with Mrs. Sandy's book, and she's a sixth grade teacher now at Pioneer Elementary. So still a couple of days of school left. If you're in sixth grade, say, "We heard your story last night," and tell her, and I'm sure she'll get a kick out of that. So this story is called Awesome Possum, and she got a lot of help from a lady named Sarah Cox, who drew some great pictures to go along with the story about this book. So Awesome Possum by Faye Sandy, illustrated by Sarah Cox. And we have the first page open, and we see a young opossum up in a tree on a branch, hanging around and hanging from his tail, because that's what opossums do. They have a very strong tail, and they kind of use it as a hand or to hold on to things. It's so strong. And he's bouncing around saying, And the words start. Paul was a young possum. Paul, like all young possums, liked to hang upside down by his tail. One day, Paul's good friend Sam Bullfrog hopped up to him. "Hey, Paul, what a beautiful day. Look at that bright blue sky," he said. "The sky is green," exclaimed Paul. "Green," yelled Sam, and Sam can't believe it. "I think you need glasses. Here, take these," he said. Sam the Bullfrog, he's wearing coveralls, and he's taking a seat underneath the tree where Paul the possum is hanging upside down by his tail. The next day, Sam came back for a visit. "Hi, Sam," said Paul. "Isn't the grass a beautiful blue today?" "Blue!" screamed Sam. "The grass is green. Here, try this magnifying glass. Maybe you'll see things more clearly." So Paul the opossum already has Sam's glasses, and now he's going to have a magnifying glass. The next day, a beaver named Beatrice moved into the neighborhood. Beatrice, like all young beavers, like to chew on trees. Beatrice is wearing kind of an orange dress with a nice acorn painted right on the front. Beatrice took a liking to Paul's tree, and she began chewing away right at the tree trunk. I don't think Paul notices. He's hanging by his tail upside down, but he is snoring. He is asleep. Beatrice took one last huge bite, and down came Paul's tree with a crack. Paul fell to the ground, and when Paul opened his eyes, he saw the bright blue sky above. Have you ever fallen out of a tree? That's not fun, is it? "Paul, are you okay?" croaked Sam. "I'm fine. You were right, Sam. The sky is blue, and the grass is green. I just needed to see things from your point of view." "And I should have tried to see things from your point of view also," said Sam. The two friends lay on the cool green grass, gazing up at the brilliant blue sky, watching the clouds go by. And that's the end of Awesome Possum by Mrs. Faye Sandy and illustrated by Sarah Cox. And the lesson there is, everybody's got their own point of view, and just because you think one way doesn't mean everybody thinks that way, and you have to be accepting of everybody's point of view because they're seeing it the way they see it, and you see it how you see it, and that's just the way life goes. So now we're going to have our second book, and again, this is Little Duck by Rosetta Weber. This book is dedicated with love to my dear grandchildren and to all my special students, to Pioneer Elementary. And this is what Rosetta wrote in a pen. She says, "To Pioneer Elementary, happy reading, Rosetta Weber." And boy, doesn't she have nice handwriting. So let's start the story now of Little Duck by Rosetta Weber. The first picture is a duck and two ducklings right underneath. She's laying on them to keep them warm. And it says, in his nest under Mother Duck's warm, fluffy feathers, Little Duck felt good and safe. He wanted to stay in this safe, soft nest and never leave it. Not ever. When Mother Duck said, come, it is time to go to the barnyard, Little Duck tried to hide behind his brother. No, he did not want to go. Mother Duck pushed until Little Duck and his brothers and sisters fell out of the nest and went with her to the barnyard. Mother Duck is all white, but the little ducks, they're all yellow. Their white feathers haven't come in yet. They're little yellow feathers. Mother Duck kicked at some dirt with her foot and said, come see the little bugs. They are good to eat. Little Duck ran to try one, then another, then another. Just then, he bumped into two big furry paws. He looked up. Above them was a great big animal with a great big head and two dark eyes that looked right at him. Help! Cried Little Duck as he ran back to his mother. I want to go back home. That's just the farmer's dog. He won't hurt you, said Mother Duck. Let's go to the water dish. And all the ducklings ran into the water dish at once. They pushed, drank, and splashed in the water. It's like a little small swimming pool. Soon, only a little bit of very dirty water was in the dish. The ducklings' fuzzy coats were wet and matted. Little Duck liked the food and water, but he was happy when Mother Duck took them back to her nest, then fluffed out her feathers as all the ducklings cuddled under her for the night. This was the place he liked best. One morning, Mother Duck said, today we will go to the pond for a swim. What is a swim? Where is the pond? Asked Little Duck. Will I like it? You will see, she said. Running after the other ducks in the tall grass, Little Duck called, wait for me. When it seemed like he could run no more, Mother Duck said, here we are. And Little Duck saw a great big sea of water. What was Mother Duck going to do? I bet that little pond did look like a big sea of water to a little duck that's never seen a pond before. Go into the water and swim, she said. No, don't make me go in. It's too big, begged Little Duck. He liked the water dish much better. Mother Duck pushed him into the water with her bill. He got up and tried to run away. Mother Duck stopped Little Duck and gave him a big push into the deep water. Why was she so mean? Was this the end for Little Duck? He tried to get up on the steep bank, flapping his tiny wings. Little Duck's feet slipped, and he fell. When he fell in, Little Duck tried to run with his little webbed feet, but he was swimming across the water. Look, I can swim. This is fun. This is easy, Little Duck cried. And he swam out to his brothers and his sisters. Mother Duck then proudly led them across the pond. She looked back at Little Duck and smiled. Little Duck felt good and safe again. Maybe Mother Duck did know what was best for him after all. And that's the end of a great story by Rosetta Weber called Little Duck. So here's a little bit, and this is on the very last page of her book, and it says author's experience. And these are the words of Rosetta Weber saying, among my many pleasant childhood memories are the numerous nature studies my brother and I experienced by the pond in our farmyard. Once we were amused as we watched a mother duck bring her baby ducklings to the pond for their first swim. The ducklings still had their fur-like fluff, which got matty as it got wet. They obviously did not like this experience, but the mother duck kept pushing them further into the water with her bill as the ducklings flapped their tiny wings and struggled to scramble back to the bank, sometimes losing their footing. One little duck in particular tried to run away, but the mother duck gently brought him back and pushed him into the deeper water. He quickly tried to run, but when paddling his little feet, he was actually swimming. It seemed as if he suddenly realized that he could swim without much effort, and it was fun. It was a beautiful sight to behold the mother duck and her babies gracefully gliding across the pond. When she left the water, all the baby ducks scurried to follow her so as not to be left behind. So that's how she got the story to write Little Duck. She'd actually seen that at her own pond growing up. So she took a real-life experience and turned it into a book. Maybe there's something that you do in your everyday life or you've seen or experienced that maybe if you tried, you could sit down and think about it and come up with a story about it, and maybe you could write a book too. Wouldn't that be exciting to have your own book? Think about that for a while. Okay, so those are books by Mrs. Faye Sandy, a sixth grade teacher, and Rosetta Weber, who was a teacher, it appears, for a long, long time, and she's just a great, great lady, and I sure like seeing her at the ballpark when I see her every once in a while. I talk to her sons often and her grandkids a lot, but it's a great story by Rosetta Weber, and we thank both Mrs. Sandy and Mrs. Weber for sharing their books with us here tonight. When we come back, we're going to take our little break tonight and get ready for our Magic Treehouse trip. And tonight, Jack and Annie are out to 200 years ago on the Great Plains, where they meet a Lakota boy who shows them his home and how to hunt buffalo. But something goes wrong, and now they need to stop 1,000 buffalo from stampeding before somebody gets hurt. So that's what's going to happen when we come back on Reading with Rick right after this. As I listen to that music when we start and when we take our break and when we leave, it makes me think that maybe when we eventually get back to school, I should talk to Mr. Mathwig and Miss Menace and Mr. Poland. They're the band directors at school, and I should see, hey, maybe they could record that music for me. And wouldn't that be fun to have our own band directors and musicians and students play that song? That would be kind of fun. We'll see. It doesn't sound like it's real hard music, but it sure is a nice tune. So let's start now with our book tonight. This is The Magic Treehouse, and it's Buffalo Before Breakfast. One summer day in Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, a mysterious treehouse appeared in the woods. 8-year-old Jack and his 7-year-old sister Annie climbed into the treehouse and found it was filled with books. Jack and Annie soon discovered that the treehouse was magic. It could take them to the places in the books. All they had to do was point to a picture and wish to go there. Along the way, Jack and Annie discovered that the treehouse belonged to Morgan Le Fay. Morgan is a magical librarian from the time of King Arthur. She travels through time and space gathering books. In some of the first books, Jack and Annie helped free Morgan from a spell. In later books, they solved four ancient riddles and they became master librarians. And in the most recent books we've read, Jack and Annie had to save four ancient stories from being lost forever. Now, in these next books, Jack and Annie must be given four special gifts to help free a mysterious dog from a magic spell. They've already received one gift on a trip to the Titanic. Remember that? That was last week we read that one. What did they get again? I forget. I'm going to have to look back. Well, here it is right here. I have the book right by my side. What did they get? Oh, was it a watch? No. Oh, well, I'll figure it out later. So, now they're set out in search of a second gift. Now I'm curious. I'm going to be looking at both books here at the same time, trying to remember. Arf, arf, arf! Jack finished tying his sneakers. Then he looked out his bedroom window. A small dog stood in the early sunlight. He had floppy ears and scruffy brown fur. Teddy, said Jack. Just then, Annie ran into Jack's room. Teddy's back, she said. It's time. It was time for their second mission to help free the little dog from a spell. Jack threw his notebook and pencil into his backpack. Then he followed Annie downstairs and past the kitchen. Where are you two going? Their mom called. Outside, said Jack. Breakfast will be ready soon, she said, and grandmother will be here any minute. We'll be right back, said Jack. He loved his grandmother's visits. She was kind and funny, and she always taught them new things. Jack and Annie slipped out the front door, and Teddy was there waiting for them. Arf, arf, he barked. Hey, where did you go last week? Jack asked. The small dog waved his tail joyfully. Then he ran up the sidewalk. Wait for us, Annie shouted. She and Jack followed Teddy up the street and into the Frog Creek woods. They ran between the trees. Wind rattled the leaves. Birds swooped from branch to branch. Teddy stopped at a rope ladder that hung from the tallest oak tree in the woods. At the top of the ladder was the magic treehouse. Jack and Annie stared up at it. No sign of Morgan, said Annie. Let's go up anyway, said Jack. Annie picked up Teddy. She carried him carefully up the ladder, and Jack climbed after her. Inside the treehouse, Teddy sniffed a silver pocket watch on the floor. Beside it was the note that Morgan had written to Jack and Annie. Annie picked up the note and read it aloud. This little dog is under a spell and needs your help. To free him, you must be given four special things. A gift from a ship lost at sea. A gift from the prairie blue. A gift from a forest far away. A gift from a kangaroo. Be brave, be wise, be careful. We've got the first special thing, said Annie. The gift from a ship lost at sea. Yeah, said Jack. He picked up the silver pocket watch. See, I was right. It was a watch. The time on the watch was 2:20. That was the time the Titanic had sunk. Jack and Annie stared at the watch. Arf! Arf! Teddy's barking brought Jack back from his memories. Okay, said Jack. Now it's time for the gift from the prairie blue. What's that mean? Said Annie. I'm not sure, said Jack. He looked around the treehouse. But I bet that book will take us there. The cover was a picture of a wide prairie. The title was The Great Plains. Ready, said Jack, and Teddy yipped and wagged his tail. Let's go, said Annie. The sooner we free Teddy, the better. And Jack pointed at the cover. I wish we could go there, he said. And the wind started to blow, and the treehouse started to spin, and then it spun faster and faster, and then everything was still, absolutely still. Early sunlight slanted into the treehouse. The cool breeze smelled of wild grass. Oh, man, said Jack, these are neat clothes. Their jeans and T-shirts had magically changed. Jack had on a buckskin shirt and pants. Annie wore a fringed buckskin dress. They both wore soft leather boots and coonskin caps. Jack's backpack was now a leather bag. I feel like a mountain man, he said. All you're missing is a mountain, said Annie, and she pointed out the window. Jack and Annie looked out. The treehouse sat in a lone tree in a vast golden prairie. The sun was rising in the distance. Wind whispered through the tall yellow grass. "Shh, shh, shh," it said. "We need a gift from the prairie blue," said Jack. "I bet that means the sky," said Annie, looking up. "Yep," said Jack, "the sky was growing bluer as they watched. But how are we supposed to get it?" "Just like last time," said Annie. "We have to wait until someone gives it to us." "I don't see any sign of people out there," said Jack. He opened their book and read aloud. "The Great Plains are in the middle of the United States. Before the 20th century, this vast prairie covered nearly a fifth of America's land. Some called it an ocean of grass." Jack pulled out his notebook. "Come on," said Annie, and she pitied lots of land. "Wow, this is like an ocean of grass," Annie called. Jack slipped the Great Plains book and his notebook into his leather bag, and he climbed onto the ground. The grass came all the way up to his chest. It tickled his nose. "Achoo!" he sneezed. "Let's go swimming in the grass ocean," said Annie, and she started off with Teddy under her arm. The wind blew gently, and the sea was rolling waves of grass. They walked and walked and walked, and finally they stopped to rest. "We could walk for months and never see anything but grass," said Jack. "Arf! Arf!" "Teddy says there's something great up ahead," said Annie. "You can't tell what he's saying," said Jack. "He's just barking." "I can tell," said Annie. "Trust me." "We can't walk all day," said Jack. "Come on," said Annie. "Just a little farther." And she started again. "Oh, brother," said Jack. But he kept going through the tall, rippling grass. They went down a small slope, then up a small rise. At the top of the rise, Jack froze. "Wow, this is great," he whispered. "Told you," said Annie. Jack stared at a circle of teepees ahead. Busy people in buckskins moved about the circle. Horses and ponies grazed nearby. Jack took out their research book and found a picture of the teepees. He read, "In the early 1800s, many different Native American tribes lived on the Great Plains. The Lakota were the largest tribe. They lived mostly in the areas we now call North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota." Jack pulled out his notebook and wrote, "Early 1800s, Lakota were largest tribe of Great Plains." Behind Jack and Annie, a horse neighed. They turned. A horse and rider were heading toward the teepee camp. The sun was very bright behind the rider. Jack could only see the outline of a body with a bow and a quiver of arrows on his back. Jack quickly flipped through the book. He found a picture of a man on horseback carrying a bow and arrows. Below the picture, it said, "Lakota Warrior," and Jack read, "Everything changed for the Native Americans of the Great Plains after white settlers arrived in the mid-1800s. Fighting broke out between Lakota warriors and white soldiers. By the end of the 1800s, the Lakota were defeated. They lost both their land and their old way of life." Jack looked back at the rider. The warrior was coming closer. "Get down," he whispered. "Why?" said Annie. "This might be a time when the Indians are fighting with the settlers," said Jack. The grass rustled as the warrior passed by them. His horse neighed again. "Arf! Arf! Shh!" whispered Jack. But it was too late. The warrior had heard Teddy's barking. He galloped toward them, grabbing his bow. "Wait!" shouted Jack, and he jumped up from the grass. "We come in peace!" And the rider halted. Now Jack saw that he was only a boy on a pony. He couldn't have been more than 10 or 11. "Hey, you're just a kid," Annie said, smiling. The boy didn't smile back, but he did lower his bow while he stared at Annie. "What's your name?" she asked. "Black Hawk," he said. "Cool name," said Annie. "We're Jack and Annie. We're just visiting. We live in Frog Creek, Pennsylvania." Black Hawk nodded. Then he turned his pony around and started toward the Lakota camp. "Hey, can we come with you?" called Annie, and Black Hawk looked back. "Yes," he said. "Meet my people." "You mean your parents?" asked Annie. "No, they died long ago," said Black Hawk. "I live with my grandmother." "Oh, I'd like to meet your grandmother," said Annie. "I'm going to see my grandmother today, too." Black Hawk nudged his pony forward again, and Annie followed with Teddy. Jack didn't move. What if the Lakota are at war with the white settlers, he worried. What if they think we're enemies? "Annie," Jack called softly, "we don't know if it's safe or not." but Annie just waved for him to come on, and Jack sighed. He opened the research book and quickly flipped through the pages. He wanted information about how to act with the Lakota. On one page he read, "Good manners to the Lakota means speaking as few words as possible and sharing gifts when visiting." On another page he read, "The Lakota admire those who do not show fear." Jack's favorite piece of information was, "Holding up two fingers means friend." Jack put the book away and he ran to catch up with Annie. Annie was telling Black Hawk all about their grandmother, and the boy listened silently. "Annie," Jack whispered, "I just read that it's good manners to be quiet, and we should give gifts and not show fear. Also, holding up two fingers means friend." Annie nodded. "Got that?" said Jack. "Sure," she said. "No talking, no fear, no problem." Jack looked up, and he caught his breath. Ahead of them, the people at the campsite had stopped what they were doing. All eyes were turned to Jack and Annie. Jack quickly held up two fingers, and Annie did the same. Black Hawk led Jack and Annie toward the teepees, and everyone kept watching them. Jack couldn't tell what anyone was thinking, but no one looked angry, and no one looked happy, though, either. Jack wondered how to appear brave. He glanced at Annie. She walked tall and straight. Her chin was up. Her face was calm. So Jack straightened his shoulders. He lifted his chin. He felt braver. Black Hawk stopped and slid off his pony. The pony headed for the grazing pasture. Then Black Hawk led them to a teepee. It was covered with buffalo designs. "Grandmother is inside," Black Hawk said to Jack and Annie. Inside the teepee looked like a small, round room. A fire burned in the center. Smoke rose through a hole at the top. An old woman sat on animal skins. She was sewing beads onto a moccasin. She looked up at Jack and Annie. "Grandmother," said Black Hawk, "this is Jack and Annie from Frog Creek, Pennsylvania." Jack and Annie both held up two fingers for friend. Grandmother raised two fingers also. Then Jack took off his coonskin cap. He gave it to Grandmother. She put the cap on her head, then laughed. Jack and Annie laughed too. Grandmother's laughter and kind face reminded Jack of his own grandmother. "You wish to learn our ways," she said, and Jack and Annie nodded. Jack could tell she was wise. Grandmother stood and left the teepee. They followed her. Outside, everyone was busy again. They all seemed to know that Jack and Annie were not enemies. Jack looked around the camp. Men and boys carved bows. Women and girls pounded meat and sewed clothes. One girl was adding claws to a buckskin shirt. "The bear claws will give her the strength of the bear," said Grandmother. "She will sew on hawk feathers, elk teeth, and porcupine quills, too. All will give her the power of the animals." Jack pulled out his notebook and wrote, "Sew bear claws to shirt." "I have strong animal power when I go on a buffalo hunt," Black Hawk said proudly. "What do you mean?" asked Jack. "I will show you," said Black Hawk. "Wait." And Black Hawk went back inside the teepee. Annie turned to Grandmother. "Why does he hunt the buffalo?" she asked. "The buffalo gives our people many gifts," said the old woman. "Food from his body, teepees from his skin, tools from his bones." Jack started making a list. "Cups from his horns," Grandmother went on, "ropes from his hair, even winter sleds from his ribs." Jack finished his list. "Buffalo, skin, teepee, bones, tools, horns, cups, hair, ropes, ribs, sleds." "That reminds me of the seal hunter in the Arctic," said Annie. "He used all the gifts from the seal's body. He didn't waste a thing." Just then, Teddy began growling and barking. Jack and Annie turned around, and they both gasped. Coming out of Grandmother's teepee was a huge wolf. The wolf had yellow eyes and sharp teeth. Teddy snarled and barked. Annie rushed forward to grab the little dog, and suddenly the wolf stood up on its hind legs. "Yikes!" said Annie, and she leaped back. Then she and Jack started to laugh. The fierce wolf was Black Hawk, wearing a wolf's hide. His head came out through a slit near the wolf's neck. He gave Jack and Annie a little smile. "That's a great wolf suit," said Annie. "Why do you wear that?" asked Jack. "The wolf is the most powerful hunter of the buffalo," said Black Hawk. "When I wear his skin, I feel his strength." "Wow!" said Annie. And Black Hawk looked at his grandmother. "May I show them the buffalo now?" he said. "Only show," said Grandmother. "Do not hunt. We have enough meat today." She looked back at Jack and Annie. Lakota, never take more buffalo than we need, she said. That's good, said Annie. Black Hawk handed his wolfskin to Grandmother. Then he ran to the grazing ponies. He climbed on his. Then he herded two ponies, one black and one yellow, over to Jack and Annie. Hi, Midnight. Hi, Sunlight, said Annie, naming the ponies, and she patted their noses. Annie, whispered Jack, how are we going to ride without saddles or reins? Just hold on to their manes, she said, and grip with your legs. Watch. Annie threw her arms around Midnight's neck and slung her leg over the pony's back and pulled herself up. I'll carry Teddy in the bag, Annie said. Jack picked up Teddy and slipped him inside the leather bag and handed it to Annie, who hung it over her shoulder. Teddy's head peeked out of the bag. Hurf! He barked. Giddy up, Midnight, said Annie, and the pony started to walk away. Wait, said Jack. He turned to Black Hawk. He had just a few questions. Black Hawk let out a wild whoop and took off too. Jack took a deep breath. He threw his arms around Sunlight's neck. Then he slung his leg over the pony's back, and the pony started to move. Wait, wait, said Jack, and he hopped on one foot trying to keep up. The pony stopped, and slowly Jack pulled himself onto Sunlight's back. He gripped the pony's mane. Then he carefully reached up and pushed his glasses into place. He looked over his shoulder, and Grandmother was watching, and she nodded at him. Lakota people admire those who do not show fear, Jack remembered. He liked Grandmother. He wanted her to admire him. He let out a wild whoop, and Sunlight took off like the wind. The whoop made Jack feel braver. He held tightly to Sunlight's mane. They caught up with Black Hawk and Annie, and together they all rode through the tall grass. Shadows of clouds swept over the plains. They looked like giant dark birds spreading their wings. Black Hawk's pony stopped at the top of a grassy slope. Sunlight and Midnight halted right behind him. Jack couldn't believe his eyes. Before them were thousands and thousands of grazing buffalo. Wow, whispered Jack and Annie together. Black Hawk looked silently at the grazing buffalo. Hand me the research book, said Jack. Annie lifted Teddy out of the bag. Then she slid the book out and gave it to Jack. He found a picture of a buffalo herd. He read to himself, the true name of the buffalo is bison. At the beginning of the 1800s, there were 40 million bison on the Great Plains. 100 years later, there were less than 300. Almost all had been killed by white hunters and soldiers. Jack looked back at the vast herd. As far as he could see, there was nothing but buffalo. Now Jack knew for certain they'd come to the time before the white settlers and soldiers had arrived, before the end of the great buffalo herds. I have been on many hunts, Black Hawk said, his eyes still on the buffalo. Were you scared? Said Jack. And Black Hawk shook his head. You're really brave, said Annie. And Black Hawk smiled proudly. I will show you how a brave hunter moves, he said, and he slid off his pony. Wait, your grandmother said not to hunt, said Annie. Plus, you don't have your wolf suit. I am not afraid, said Black Hawk. I don't think you should go down there, said Jack. There's no grown-ups around. But Black Hawk wasn't listening. He began creeping on all fours toward the buffalo. I have a feeling something bad's going to happen, said Annie. Jack had the same feeling. He looked back at the book. A bison can weigh 2,000 pounds and stand 6 feet high. If one becomes alarmed by a hunter, he might start running and set off a terrifying stampede. Jack looked back at Black Hawk. He was creeping closer and closer to the herd. Jack's heart pounded. He wanted to shout, come back, but he didn't want to scare any of the huge, fierce-looking animals. Keeping his eyes on Black Hawk, Jack handed the plains book to Annie. She slid it back into the bag besides Teddy. Black Hawk stopped just as he was passing the nearest buffalo. His eyes squeezed shut, his nose wrinkled up, his mouth opened. What's he doing? Asked Jack. Shoo! Black Hawk sneezed. Uh-oh, said Annie. The huge buffalo jerked its head up. It made a low, moaning sound. Then it pointed its horns and it charged. Watch out! Cried Jack. And Black Hawk threw himself out of the way of the charging buffalo. A ripple went through the herd as other shaggy animals looked up. Suddenly, Teddy jumped out of Annie's arms. He landed in the tall grass and ran toward the buffalo. Teddy! Shouted Annie. And the dog tore down the hill. He bounded along the edge of the herd, barking furiously. Teddy, come back! Cried Annie. She slid off her pony and she ran after Teddy. Jack tried to see Black Hawk. The boy was still dodging the running buffalo. He looked tired. Jack took a deep breath. "Go to Black Hawk," he said, nudging Sunlight with his knees. The golden pony charged down the slope and ran between the buffalo. "Black Hawk!" Jack shouted. Black Hawk started running toward Sunlight. The buffalo swerved behind him. Sunlight slowed as Black Hawk got near. The boy threw himself over the golden pony's back. He held on to Jack as Sunlight veered away from the buffalo and ran back up the slope. "Where's Annie?" Jack cried as they reached the top. "There," said Black Hawk, and he was pointing. Annie was surrounded by buffalo, calm buffalo. She was patting them and talking to them. The buffalo near her had stopped running, too. The ones behind those started to calm down, then others, until all the buffalo had stopped running. They began grazing again, as if nothing had happened. "She has good medicine," said Black Hawk. "Annie doesn't have any medicine," Jack said. "She just has a way with animals." Black Hawk was silent. He climbed back on his waiting pony. Then he rode down toward Annie. Jack followed. Annie's pony trailed behind. Annie turned to Jack and Black Hawk as they rode up to her. On her face was a look of amazement. "You wouldn't believe what happened," she said. "You stopped the stampede," said Black Hawk. "But it wasn't just me," said Annie. "What do you mean?" asked Jack. "I was trying to find Teddy," said Annie, "and I got in the way of the buffalo. I couldn't escape, so I held up my hands and shouted, 'Stop!' And then out of nowhere, a beautiful lady in a white leather dress came to help me." "You saw a lady in white?" asked Black Hawk, and his eyes had grown wide. "Yes," said Annie. "She held up her hands, and the buffalo stopped running. Then she disappeared." "Where's Teddy?" said Jack. Annie gasped. "I don't know. I forgot about him," she said. "Teddy! Teddy!" "Arf! Arf!" And the little dog came bounding out of the grass toward them. Annie scooped him up, and Teddy licked her face all over. "Where did you go?" Annie asked him. "Did you see the beautiful lady, too?" "That lady does not live on this earth," Black Hawk said softly. "What do you mean?" said Annie. "You saw the spirit of White Buffalo Woman," he said. "What do you mean, spirit?" said Jack. "You mean like a ghost?" Black Hawk turned his pony around. "Let us go back," he said. "We must tell Grandmother." Annie put Teddy in Jack's bag. Then she climbed on her pony, and they took off. Behind them, the buffalo grazed peacefully on the plains. The sun was going down as the three ponies galloped for home. The deep blue sky was streaked with golden red light. Back at the Lakota camp, the circle of teepees glowed in the setting sun. People were gathered around a large fire. Black Hawk led Jack and Annie to the camp. They got off their ponies and went over to the fire. Grandmother rose to greet them. "You have been gone a long time," she said. Black Hawk looked her bravely in the eye. "Grandmother, I tried to hunt the buffalo alone," he said. "One charged at me, but Jack saved my life. Then Annie and White Buffalo Woman stopped all the other buffalo from a stampede." "Let this be a lesson to you," Grandmother said sternly. "Your pride led you to show off. Showing off made you behave foolishly. Your foolishness frightened a buffalo. He frightened others. One thing always leads to another. Everything is related." "I am sorry," said Black Hawk, and he hung his head. "I have learned." Jack felt sorry for Black Hawk. "I make mistakes sometimes, too," he said softly. "Me too," said Annie. Grandmother looked at Jack and Annie. "Buffalo Girl and Rides Like Wind showed great courage today," she said. Jack smiled. He loved his new Lakota nickname, Rides Like Wind. "We welcome you to our family," said Grandmother. The evening shadows spread over the camp. Someone began beating a drum. It sounded like a heartbeat. "Come, sit with us in our circle," said Grandmother. They sat with her near the warm fire. A cool breeze blew sparks into the gray twilight. An old man held a long pipe up to the sky. He pointed it to the east, to the south, to the west, and to the north. Then he passed the pipe to the next man in the circle. The man put the pipe to his lips and blew smoke into the golden firelight. Then he passed it on. "The smoke from the sacred pipe joins all things to the Great Spirit," Grandmother said to Jack and Annie. "The Great Spirit?" asked Annie. "The Great Spirit is the source of all things in the sacred circle of life," said Grandmother. "It is the source of all spirits." "What spirits?" asked Jack. "There are many," said Grandmother. "Wind spirits, tree spirits, bird spirits. Sometimes they can be seen, sometimes not." What about the white buffalo woman? Said Jack. Who's she? She is a messenger of the Great Spirit, said Grandmother. He sent her when the people were starving. She brought the sacred pipe so that our prayers could rise to the Great Spirit. He answers by sending us the buffalo. Why do you think White Buffalo Woman came to me? Asked Annie. Sometimes courage can summon help from the beyond, Grandmother said. She pulled a brown and white feather from a small buckskin bag. She put the feather on the ground in front of Jack and Annie. This is a gift for you, she said, an eagle's feather for your courage. Arf, arf! Teddy wagged his tail. Jack and Annie smiled at each other. The eagle's feather was their gift from the prairie blue. Their mission was complete. The chanting and drum beats grew louder and louder, and then they stopped. The old man held the pipe up to the sky. All things are related, he said. The pipe-smoking ceremony was over. The sky was dark and filled with stars, and one by one, people rose from the circle and went to their teepees. Jack put the eagle's feather in his bag and yawned. We better go home now, he said. You must rest first, said Grandmother. You can leave in the dawn. Good plan, said Annie. She was yawning, too. They went with Grandmother and Black Hawk to their teepee. Grandmother pointed to two buffalo robes that lay to one side of the still-burning fire. Jack and Annie stretched out on them. Teddy snuggled between them. Grandmother and Black Hawk lay on robes across from them. Jack watched as the bluish-white smoke rose from the fire. It went up through the teepee hole and into the endless starry sky. Jack listened to the wind blowing through the grass. Shh, shh, shh. It's the voice of the Great Plains, he thought, and then he drifted off to sleep. Jack felt Teddy licking his cheek. He opened his eyes. Gray light came through the smoke hole. The fire was out. The teepee was empty. Jack jumped up. He grabbed his bag and hurried outside with Teddy. In the cool light before dawn, everyone was taking down their teepees. They were loading them onto wooden platforms strapped to two poles. The poles were pulled by horses. Grandmother and Black Hawk piled tools and clothes onto their platform. Annie stuffed buffalo meat into a rawhide bag. What's happening? Jack asked. It is time to follow the buffalo, said Grandmother. We will camp somewhere else for a few weeks. Jack pulled out his notebook. He still had many questions, but he tried to choose just a few. Can you camp anywhere, he asked, even when you don't own the land? Black Hawk laughed. People cannot own land, he said. The land belongs to the Great Spirit. And Jack wrote in his notebook, land owned by Great Spirit, not people. What about school, said Jack. Don't you have to go to school? What is school? Black Hawk said. It's a place where kids go to learn things, Jack explained. And Black Hawk laughed again. There is not only one place to learn, he said. In camp, we learn to make clothes, tools, and teepees. On the plains, we learn to ride and hunt. We look at the sky and learn courage from the eagle. Jack wrote, Lakota school is everywhere. Grandmother turned to Jack and Annie. Will you walk with us toward the sunset, she asked. And Jack shook his head. We have to go the other way, he said, toward the sunrise. Thank you for the eagle's feather, said Annie. Let your thoughts rise as high as that feather, said Grandmother. It is good medicine. What does that mean? Jack asked. Good medicine. Good medicine connects you to the world of the spirit, she said. And Jack nodded, but he still didn't really understand. Goodbye, buffalo girl, and rides like wind, said Grandmother. We wish you a safe journey. Jack and Annie waved. Then they started walking back the way they'd come. Teddy ran ahead of them. At the top of the rise, they looked back. Grandmother, Black Hawk, and the rest of the tribe were watching. Jack and Annie both held up two fingers for friend. Then they took off down the slope. They ran across the prairie, through the tall, whispering grass, all the way back to the treehouse. Annie put Teddy in the leather bag, and she and Jack climbed up the rope ladder. They looked out the window one last time. The ocean of grass was golden in the early sunlight. By now, the Lakota are walking west, Jack thought. Soon everything will change, he said sadly. The buffalo will vanish. The old way of life of the Lakota will vanish, too. But the Great Spirit won't ever vanish, said Annie. It will always take care of Black Hawk's people. Jack smiled. Annie's words made him feel better. Arf, arf, Teddy barked, as if to say, let's go. Okay, okay, said Jack, and he picked up the Pennsylvania book and pointed at a picture of Frog Creek. I wish we could go home to our people, he said, and the wind started to blow, and the treehouse started to spin, and it spun faster and faster, and then everything was still, absolutely still. We're home, said Annie. Bright sunlight flooded the treehouse. Teddy licked Jack and Annie's faces. They were back in their jeans and T-shirts. Hey, silly, Annie said to the dog, now we have the second thing to help free you from your spell. She took the eagle's feather out of Jack's backpack. She put it on Morgan's note next to the silver pocket watch from the Titanic. Now we have our gift from the Prairie Blue, said Jack. Let your thoughts rise as high as this feather. Hey, I just had a thought, said Annie. What, said Jack. I bet Teddy had something to do with White Buffalo Woman, she said. Why, asked Jack. 1 second, Teddy disappeared in the grass. Then White Buffalo Woman appeared, said Annie. When White Buffalo Woman disappeared, Teddy appeared. Hmm, said Jack, and he stared at the little dog. Teddy tilted his head and gave Jack a wise look. Well, said Jack, maybe Teddy has good medicine. Now you understand, said Annie. Jack, Annie, a call came from the distance. Jack and Annie looked out the window of the treehouse. Their mom and their grandmother were standing on their porch. Yay, grandmother's here, said Annie. We're coming, they shouted together. Let's put Teddy in our backpack, said Annie, so we can take him home with us this time. Okay, said Jack. But when they turned around, the little dog was gone. Teddy, said Annie. There was no sign of him. Oh, man, as soon as we turned our backs, he slipped away, said Jack, just like last time. Don't worry, said Annie. He'll find us again soon. I'm sure of it. And she started down the rope ladder. Jack grabbed his pack and followed. As they started for home, a wind gusted through the trees. Jack stopped for a moment to look at the woods. Branches waved their leaves. Birds left the branches and swooped up into the blue sky. Black Hawk's grandmother is right, he thought. All things are related. Jack, called Annie. Coming, said Jack, and he hurried to catch up with her. And together they ran out of the Frog Creek woods, up their street, and into their own grandmother's arms. And that is the end of that exciting adventure. Buffalo Before Breakfast, Jack and Annie in the Magic Treehouse. So they've got two of the four things given to them. They need to find two more. They need to find a gift from a forest far away and a gift from a kangaroo yet. So think about where a forest far away could be. Where would you find a kangaroo? Well, Jack and Annie are going to find out the next couple of nights when we come back with more Reading with Rick and all those great stories. Again, thank you to Mrs. Sandy and Mrs. Weber for sharing their great books with us on Reading with Rick tonight. Okay, that's it. You have a great night. Enjoy your day tomorrow. Have sweet dreams, and I hope you come back and share another night with me, okay? Good night, everybody.